Oh, yeah.
Time's up. Let's do this.
We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to episode 168 of Born to be Wild, a Wild exclusive Hearthstone podcast where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the Wild format of Hearthstone and spotlighting members of the Wild community. I'm your host, as always, Nate Wolf. It's great to be back on a beautiful Friday evening, joining you from Orange County, California, here tonight with three of my favorite people. We do have a very special guest for you tonight as well. Very excited to be back. I was out last week, and we'll get into that in a minute, but great to be back, and yeah, three Mississippi. Hydralisk, how you been?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here too, and it's nice to see your face again, and it's going to be a good show. I'm happy that we got a real cool guest on tonight, and enough about me. Sheep, how are you?
Meowdy friends, I'm fantastic on this Friday evening, and very excited to introduce our special guest, Matt at Arms. Welcome, woo! Matt.
Hey there, how you doing?
Yo,
glad to be here. It's been a while, and I, you know, haven't been on this show, and I don't think I was ever on the other show. But
you were part of the when we did the listener series when we did like the very first one, right? I think.
Yeah, I remember playing that on my phone against Craig and Taylor, and having a great time, and not doing very well, but I had fun. I remember one of my decks was like a Finja Mech Rogue.
Oh my god.
The idea was to play Finja, pull out 3-4 amalgams, and then magnetize like the five, at that time, a 5-5 bot onto them. It never got to happen, but it was a fun idea because Finja is still one of my favorite cards.
Oh, yeah.
So
Finja Force 5.
Fantastic. So, Matt, tell us as much or little as you would like to about yourself. Who is Matt at Arms?
I'm a dad, first of all.
Nice.
That's what I do. I'm a dad. I'm also a big fan of the game of Hearthstone. I've been in the community for a long time. Been podcasting for a while as well. First on, Hero Power? Sorry. Jeez, oh, Pete's. We ended that show last year, and they ended that show last year. I was on a good handful of episodes. Cool. Remember the first episode I was on, we were reporting on the fact that Firebat left Team Archon.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was literally that day, and then a week later, the whole team drama between Firebat and Archon and his dog and everything else with that happened. And then that's when I kind of joined. That's when I kind of came a part of the community altogether. I was on a good number of Hero Power episodes, kind of took a break for a while, joined Squelch about 2-3 years ago, and been on that show ever since because I keep showing up, mainly. and Squelch, if you're not familiar, is a Hearthstone podcast where we kind of talk about Hearthstone. We really talk. It's really a food podcast that talks about Hearthstone.
That's quite great. Honestly. That's great.
And also we make fun of people who are mad at the game. We like doing that too.
I appreciate that segment.
It's always a blast.
Yeah, like especially people who love the algorithm, like the people that are, we call them algorithm truthers because they are, you know, the people that believe the game is completely rigged and completely, you know, because they have a bad seed on their account or something. I don't know. It just, this is what happens. So yeah, that's me. I'm also a big Warlock main. I have it tattooed on my chest that I love Warlock so much.
Oh, I was wondering where that was. I thought it might be on your butt, but I wasn't sure.
I mean, that's where the next one happens. It might be like, you know, whatever cool Warlock hero power comes next. So
I Life Tap. Wow.
When Life Tap goes to three, that's where that tattoo will go.
And it'll be the butt tap.
Yep, yeah, buddy. Exactly. Yeah, no, that's a great tattoo. I like it. It's really cool.
Yeah, it was a really fantastic job by the artist, and he did a fantastic job, and I was like a little leery of the line work, but he did it. Like, this guy does really good like pin line work that like does really well, and I was ecstatic with it. So
yeah, that's commitment. I love it. That's super cool. How big is it? Because like I see the photo, but like it's hard to tell.
It's about the size of a baseball.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. So I could take my shirt off, but then you'll lose the stream.
How many people have come up to you on the beach and be like, I know what that is?
Zero, actually, which is not surprising because Hearthstone is niche, but I don't
know. It might happen one day. Like that's I love wearing a Hearthstone shirt in public just to see if somebody's gonna say something, and it does happen sometimes. Someone will just be like, hey, I love that game.
Well, it was like weird when I like run into a coworker at a new job and like, I remember I heard you on Hero Power at the time. And I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks. Nice to meet you. I became friends with him for a while and then I got laid off from that job. Anyway, moving on.
So as is tradition, we ask all of our guests how they came up with their username. How did you come up with yours?
My name is Matt. So that covers the first half.
First third.
I'm also a big fan of the 80s cartoon He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So Man at Arms is one of the characters, and Matt at Arms just seemed to work really well, and that's what I've been for the last long time. Like, I've been on Twitter for like 12 years. So, I'm sorry, X now for 12 years. So, yeah, that's where that came from. So.
I remember back in the day we were talking about, I don't think it ever came to fruition, but there were talks of doing a special tournament or show or series or whatever called the Dark Iron Chef. Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember that. Well, like kind of like the idea of the original series where like we change, like something changed every week.
Yeah, it was to like make a So like Iron Chef, right? Where they give you like today's special ingredient is onion or whatever. You know, Mark DeCosco's is amazing, but he does the voice, right? When he's trying to do the special ingredient. But the idea would be, right? Like, all right, today's special ingredient is mechs, and you have to build mech decks or whatever it is. And like Iron Chef, but like Dark Iron Dwarf. So it was Dark Iron Chef. It was great. It was, I feel so terrible because I can't think of his name from Hero Power. And we were talking about doing it and then it just never happened. But I love the name so much that it always stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And anyways, sorry, I went down a rabbit hole.
It's a good name. It was worth exploring.
Yeah.
Hey, for the name alone.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've been playing Hearthstone for a long time, yeah?
Since iPad release, which is around the same time as Naxx, I think.
Yeah,
so I played a bunch since then. I didn't really start ladder until like 3 or 4 months later, because like I like sheep, very much like a, well, casuals for like people like me who just kind of play in bed, right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, so that's what I did, and then you know I just jumped in the ranked one day and had a good time, and I'm like, well, I'm just gonna play here from now on. So I've been doing that, and I played Wild a lot a few years ago. Like Wild was my main format. Like there's some content I tried to create that was like a Wild focused content where it was like kind of like your Dark Iron Chef idea, where it's like come up with an idea of a deck and like make it work. Like Dragon Paladin was like a meme at the time, and I tried to make the Dragon Paladin work. Mm-hmm. I made a pretty decent Dragon Paladin. I stopped doing that content when I tried to make Aviana, the 3/7 Aviana card work with Alarmobot.
The Duskfallen.
Duskfallen Aviana. I tried making that happen. I think it happened once and I still lost the game. So it tells you how it's like, and I tried making a video on that and that just didn't work. And I just stopped making content after that, So.
I bet you that one video would have got a lot of views though. The one time Duskfallen Aviana actually worked.
Yeah, but I still lost. So I don't know.
If you could eventually pull it off and win.
The idea, I remember the idea at the time was like, Duskfallen Aviana comes out of the deck, then I play Maligos, then I do things. And I'm like, well, why don't I just do the Maligos things and not do Duskfallen Aviana things? So.
Because imagine the person rage quitting when they lose Duskfallen Aviana, right?
Oh, yeah, like, exactly.
That's one of those where you see the card and it's like, that's a real card? Like, yeah.
I remember being so disappointed because I held on to it for years and then I disenchanted it because I'm like, I'm never gonna play this card. And then I was going for the 100% collection. I'm like, this feels bad that I'm crafting this card. Oh, no. Yeah. Mistakes were made. Don't disenchant stuff. Don't dust them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you first got into Hearthstone, were you playing any other card games, or like what sort of brought you into it?
I played Magic for a while. So I played a little bit of that, like just like kitchen table Magic in high school. And I kind of fell off that because at one point I thought, no, I'm not playing card games. Card games aren't cool. And then, you know, that was like college, and that was that's a regret I have. But no, I started playing Hearthstone. I was looking for a card game on the iPad for a while. And I'm like, oh, this Hearthstone looks fun, so I'll do that. And yeah, and I kind of fell in love and been doing it ever since. So I like, I wasn't really like that much of a card gamer, but you know, I did like playing like third or fourth edition Magic, which I wish I had still had those cards.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Like I had a couple dual lands and that are now would have like paid for a few things.
I saw the video this week of the person who pulled the One Ring card, and in the video their hand is like shaking, you know, and it's like, I would be too. It's worth what, $2+ million?
$2.6 million and Post Malone bought it for. which honestly, Post Malone was like the perfect person to actually buy it.
I agree with that 100% because I thought it was going to be, I swear, I thought it was going to be Logan Paul or somebody, and I was like, please, can we not? Like,
no. Yeah. Good job, Post Malone.
So
he'll use it.
If any, he probably would.
He'll put it in the deck and play with it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just glad that it went to like somebody
who actually likes the game. Somebody who's rich who actually likes the game. Yeah.
They won't just burn the card on camera for content
for YouTube views. Yeah.
No, that's what I thought was going to happen. Right. I think we talked about it before. Like, I swear, I thought that like, you know, one of these stupid YouTubers is going to buy it for $1 million and then like rip it up into tiny pieces and burn it like on YouTube Live or something just for views. And I was like, oh, don't do that. Don't do that.
See, if they really wanted to commit, then they should take it to some sort of mountain that has lava and toss it into that. So that it would be like throwing the one, right?
The one ring. The Mountain Doom. Yeah. It's like, what you got to do? Like, it may actually make a bird do it.
There you go. I thought they were going to like
an eagle.
I thought they would do a contest, right? You get a bunch of people up in an airplane and like throw it out of the airplane, and then people like skydiving to try to grab it in the air, right? That's so dangerous and stupid. So that's a Logan Paul thing. Like, all right, let me just stop because it's bad.
I mean, isn't he wrestling this weekend?
I don't know. Last time I saw it, I just laughed because I saw like the before and after, and his face was all beat up, and I was like, what do you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
But I don't know what it happens with Pokemon cards, right? Because my kid used to collect. We kind of stopped because they got like they're just so expensive. But the YouTubers like killed Pokemon for everybody because apparently like you can register yourself as like an LLC or whatever and then buy in bulk from the distributors and then have all these like box opening videos. And then when you go to the card shops, they're either like out of stock or they're really expensive because they're not available. Like they're just and
well, the fact that Target like limits their purchases of like Pokemon cards to two per person. I'm like two packs per person. It's like,
it's silly. Yeah.
It's really dumb. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Lorcana kind of looks interesting. The Disney card game that's like what, about to come out? Like,
oh, no more card games. I'm
interested. I'm Nate, really interested in that. But I'm looking forward to buying like a couple of starter decks in like November when they're available, like at Target or something.
Right.
I always thought Disney was like super lame, but then I played Kingdom Hearts and it was like, oh, all right, this is kind of cool. My wife has been playing this like Stardew Valley, but it's like a Disney RPG type of thing that she's been playing, and it's like, oh, this is kind of cool. And so while I could like don't want to get into another card game, like I could totally see myself getting wrapped up into another card game.
So is Disney okay? Disney, so you know
Light Valley,
you know, when you play,
yes
when you play like Smash Bros, they'll have not just regular Nintendo created characters in it. They have some of like say a Konami created character, like whatever, like another company created character in it, because Nintendo sort of envelops everything. Is the Disney game going to have like Marvel characters in it, or is it going to have Homer Simpson because like they bought Fox? Like,
I mean,
could you be Krusty the Clown versus like, Roger Rabbit or something. Like, I'm just like.
Wow, sounds, I just played my crusty Iron Man deck.
Yeah. Right? Like,
you know, it's better than the crusty Steamboat Willie deck.
So, like, I'm just curious, like, how far they could take it, right?
Yeah, it looks like they're starting out with like the classic Disney stuff. You know, there's like Frozen and Lion King and, you know, Aladdin and there's of course Mickey, stuff like that.
Yeah, there's some Fantasia mixed in, which is actually kind of interesting, which I like.
I want the genie. The genie from Aladdin.
Yeah.
It'd be Robin Zephyrus. Williams. That'd be great.
The digital version, he'd be Zephyrus.
Yeah.
Wish is my suggestion.
Anyway, the rabbit holes continue. You mentioned that your favorite class was Warlock to the point that you like tattooed it on yourself.
Yes.
What about Warlock drew you to it so much? Like, why do you like it?
All right. So the real answer is the fact that I opened a Golden Jurax. This was like my first legendary I ever opened.
Ah.
So you didn't even need 500 wins. You just had to turn into Golden Jurax's.
No, I just like literally, yeah, it could be Joel Golden Jurax's because I could play it on turn 9. It was fantastic. But also the fact that like the play style of like you're one of the few classes actually using your life as a resource actively, which is fantastic. Like tapping twice and dropping a giant on turn 4 is like my favorite thing to do in Hearthstone. Forge of Souls, like in the new set, is just like, yes, I want to do this. Play this on 3. I want to play a big thing on 4 and then copy it. Like, this is exactly what I do want to do in the game. And I love it. So, I mean, that's, and like with in Wild, Evenlock is probably one of my favorite decks of all time. I wish it was a lot better.
You know, it comes and goes right now.
It comes and goes. Yeah. Like, I could probably still play it and probably swap in a few new cards, but like, probably a lot of Loken would be really good in that deck. But the problem is I can't play Forge of Souls then because it's an odd cost card. Just nerf, don't nerf Forge of Souls. Please don't nerf Forge of Souls.
Buff it.
Make it a 2-mana card. Perfect.
Yeah.
So that's mainly it's just the play style of tapping, playing big things early, and then playing Jurax. Like, and honestly, like Jurax is my favorite card ever printed because, you know, you kill your hero. It was like the OG hero card, but it actually had like, you set yourself to 15. Either that was a good thing or a bad thing, and like you drop 6/6s every turn and killed them. It was like it was great. Like that's what I love doing, and that's like it's like I guess the Timmy in me. Like very Timmy playstyle, but also can be very powerful and good sometimes. Like my second favorite deck of all time, like original OG Handlock, Demon Handlock, and like Stormwind Handlock are like my three favorite decks. So and then Evenlock. So
as a Warlock main and someone who loves Jurax's, what are your feelings on Nemzi?
More skins, please.
Yeah. Less Nemzi skins, more like, I don't know, like frighteningly cute Nemzi. Like the original Nemzi portrait is the best Nemzi portrait, no doubt. Like it's just the fact that she's the girl on the Bog Creeper is great. And like when she gets like a little wacky, it's whatever. Like I do have the magical girl Nemzi skin, and I have that in my rotation along with the Rafam skin. So it's Nemzi's fine. So I do like the fact we are starting to get Tamsin skins. Those Tamsin is bae. So
right on.
Tamsin is incredible, but I gotta say I really enjoy the whimsy of Nemzi.
Yes.
Oh dear.
Absolutely. So before we move on to housekeeping, we of course want to give you a chance to plug all of your stuff and things where people can find you around the internet so they don't have to wait till the end of the show to figure it out. Where on the internet can you be found?
Basically Twitter is my thing, is I guess my thing now. It's or X, sorry, Elon. It's Twitter. It's still Twitter to me. It's at Matt at Arms on Twitter. I'm in all the good Hearthstone discords. So just at me there and you'll probably find me. Please don't at me at every Discord, Tito. That's basically it. Discord and Twitter and Squelch Podcast. Hear me ramble on that show. So
excellent. So for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how the show works. We record this very podcast live every Friday evening at twitch.tv/borntobewildhs. And the video version of this podcast is then posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. Audio versions are also distributed to all of the podcast apps. So however you are watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis this podcast today, thank you. Yes.
You.
Like Soulja Boy.
Objection. Oh, wait. Wrong bit. Sorry.
I need to get that drop from Dan.
Yeah. No, just borrow Deck Text. It's just as good.
Can confirm.
Oh, man. Well, before we get into the main part of the show, did want to do some housekeeping, say thank you very much to everyone who is joining us live here on Twitch tonight. So thank you for spending your Friday evening with us. We really appreciate it. Also, big shout out to Shakuna, the executive producer of our show, and to Armorn and our other patrons. Thank you very much for your support. Really appreciate it. And if you're interested in supporting us, if you want to like, comment, subscribe to our stuff on YouTube, leave comments on any of our reviews on any of the podcast apps. If you're interested in interacting with any of us personally, we do have a Discord server that we hang out in quite a lot. We post deck lists there with funny usernames, memes and real life stuff and all of that. It's a good time. And so, it's a really fun community there that we've got. We also do have some merch. It's available on our website. If anybody's interested, that is a Hydralisk t-shirt. I like that. I had not seen that before and I really like it. So, if you go to our website, borntobewildhs.com, there's links to all of that stuff and you can check it out. Lastly, if you're somebody that uses Twitch a lot, we do have some emotes that you can unlock for free just by following. There's a couple others that you can get for subscribing. And as is tradition, this week's episode is dedicated to, drumroll please, if they're appropriate, which they may not be, but I missed last week's because I was off camping. There hasn't been a ton. MTG Squirrel is a friend that we know. It's funny that they ended up in the user in the funny Discord username.
He's
channel.
Actually local to me. He's not too far away from.
Oh, home. That's great.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Yeah, Naya, whenever she posted that, was like, "Oh, this is more like a celebrity sighting."
Yeah, than a funny that's username, great.
Which was awesome.
Misplay McGee.
I like that.
That one was a good one.
That's great. That's great. There's some here, but I think they were from last week. So, maybe not.
This is the 30th, so we're good, I think.
Drunk.
I can't remember.
Yeah, all right. So this week's episode is dedicated to Drunk Cat, Soy Sauce Gang, Nightmare EXE, I don't know if I'm Bacon Science. I'm just going to skip it because I'm going to mispronounce it. Bacon Science. That's pretty good. Wet Bandit Icy. Okay. Killer Bees. let's see. Tiger's Woof. Yeah. And Misplay McGee. This episode is dedicated to you, Misplay McGee.
Yeah, that's the best one.
This is the funniest. These are all great, though. I appreciate everyone that's sharing these. They're so funny. I still like Pork Lego Guy, but
oh yeah. Geez. Yeah, Pork Lego Guy right now is top tier.
That's pretty great.
Has not yet been usurped.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite. There you never know, like you run across them, but yeah, I don't know. And then I always laugh like a little kid every time I see like Poop Fart, you know, like one of those. But anyways,
we do have this channel. I did steal this idea for the Squelch Discord because like it's such a good idea. I do have Sharts Rust My Butt. One million V's. Knee in the sack.
Knee?
Yeah, K-N-E-E in the sack.
In the sack?
Yes.
Ouch. Wow. Ouch.
Yeah, and Marry Me Jill, which I just like that was a good one too.
hoping to run into Jill on the ladder, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's great.
Who's proposing to my sister?
Well, that's my wife's name.
Not the same person.
Are you sure?
Small world. Oh, dear. Well, before we get into, we're talking about, like, this is a big week in Hearthstone, but let's talk about our weeks real quick, just to kind of check in as we do, because, yeah, we're friends, and that's what we do. I've been camping, so I missed last week's show because I, in this, like, sheer brilliance, when Hydralisk says, I lined up a really cool guest, but he's in Australia, and there's time zones, and can we do the show at a weird time? And are you guys free on Sunday, like 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now? And I was like, yeah, I'm free. Meanwhile, we had got this reservation for this campsite like 6 months ago, and I totally spaced on it. So that's where I've been. I just got back from Big Bear, and it was nice.
Social face.
It rained for half the time, but it was okay. We found stuff to do, and thankfully,
you had a good lightning show. Hey,
oh my goodness, it was insane. We have this pop-up tent. We got it from Costco, and it was great because it, like, you can set the whole thing up in 5 minutes or less, which I was great. I was really grateful for. We pulled up, and like it, like drop, and I was like, oh crap, we got to set up the tent like now, like right now. My kid's like, oh, I just got to do it. No, now, we're doing it right now. Like, I do not want to get, like, set this up in the mud. But it like unfolds and pops up. It took 3 minutes. It was great. And so we, my parents had the motorhome, we had the tent, but we did not get any water in it at all. It was great. And, yeah, it was pretty fun. Actually, I'm not super outdoorsy, but my son is really looking forward to it. He's 11 now. So, like, he got his first pocket knife and he was all excited, and was like, I was so freaked out that he was going to, like, kill himself accidentally, but it was fine. But we did some hiking, we did some kayaking. It was cool. Anyways. Yeah. So we just got back real late yesterday, and, yeah, it was good. I still haven't, like, decompressed yet. And then I had this, like, you get back on a, like, late Thursday. I was not going to go into work today, so I just took the whole week off. And I thought, well, there's a couple other things that I need to get done before, like, I go back to work, and then it's just all busy again. And so I have these shelves that I'm working on. So hopefully next time you see me, the office here should be a little bit different. I got these, like, from Home Depot, like 4 foot by 8 foot, like, wood, and had them cut it into like 1 foot strips, and making like an L-shaped shelf for my office here and one for my kids' room. And so I spent the afternoon like painting the ones black for my office and staining the ones for his room to match his furniture. And actually after the show, I'm going back over to my folks' house, cause I'm doing it in their garage, to finish up and hopefully hang them tomorrow is my hope. Maybe Sunday, we'll see. But yeah, it's cool. It feels weird to, like, it feels like Saturday to be today. I'm all totally off, but anyways, yeah, Big Bear was really nice. The lake is, it's beautiful. Yeah. The lake is there, and, yeah, we went kayaking. It was actually really cool. Saw some turtles, saw some fish and all that stuff. So
any murlocs?
That's great. Unfortunately, no, or maybe fortunately, but anyways, touch grass, right? It's unexpectedly, refreshing. I don't like being dirty. That's the thing. Like, I don't, like, I'm not a very good camper, cause, like, I don't like the dirt, but so they have, right. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to go on a quick rabbit hole.
Do it.
They have these showers there, right? This is great, cause you get all dirty and you want to take a shower. But they're like push button showers, and like you push the button and the wall, like they were, what do I say? Like individual stalls with the doors and they lock and the whole deal. So it was great. But you have to push the button to use the water, and it comes out for like 5 seconds, and you have to push the button again. Like, this is insane. So I'm just sitting here like pushing the button over and over and over. And, I guess it just encourages you to take a super quick shower. But my dad figured out, like, so he brought this like walking stick, and you just jam, like, he's like, all right, watch this. So he jammed the walking stick like on the button of the shower, and then wedged it off to the right into like the grout, and like just like kept the button held down.
So like MacGyver fan he is,
right? He's like, oh, you just take as long of a shower as you want, right? And it's like, oh my gosh.
And probably the first like 5-10 seconds of that shower was like freezing cold water.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So we learned the hard way. Like the first day I took a shower, first thing in the morning, and it was like ice cold. It was terrible. And then like one of the ranger people was like, oh yeah, don't do that. Like take one in the afternoon because it takes a while to like warm up. You don't want to be the first one to use it. Like let other people use it first. And then the hot water, like it'll warm up. It's like, oh. So I started doing it like right before dinner. And it was great. My kid was determined to like, he had this list of all the stuff that he wanted to, I want to carve this thing and I want to learn how to start a fire. I learned how to start a fire with a flint, like a flint, actual, like a little, like a sparker and a piece of like steel.
Survivor style.
Oh like... my God. I never want to do that again. Like I'm happy to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
But it was crazy. Like it took a long time, like to start a fire with no matches and no lighter and no nothing. Oh my goodness.
You don't need no stinking matches.
You can just call me Bear Wolf now. And no, it was crazy. Like to like try to spark it with flint. Like I thought that was a TV thing. But anyways, yeah, it was crazy. It was fun. We had a good time though. But I'm happy that I'm home. And oh, I saved one thing to show you for the show. I'm going to set it up hopefully this weekend. But you were showing me your Captain America shield. But so look what I picked up.
Yeah, buddy.
So yeah, I'm pretty excited. So these so Lego makes Marvel stuff. I'm a huge like Marvel Comics junkie. I've been reading the comic books since I was 9 years old or whatever. And yeah, I got these shelving unit things like for behind me, kind of like sheeps with the squares, right? Looking for stuff to put on
them. When it's made.
Oh, it's like a little bit cut off. That's cool. All right. I'm excited. Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm totally copying you. But I'm excited. I'm excited to get this stuff and it's like they know. They're like, oh, we're gonna make grown up Legos that are comic book, and we're gonna charge like whatever the cost should be. Like, let's just double it because we know that they're gonna buy it.
Yeah.
And anyways, here we are.
I have my eye on a Technic set that's like literally a 2022 McLaren F1 car.
Damn. Mm.
Like it's like through 300 bucks, right?
Yeah, it's like $300 and I'm like, it might be worth it.
Those Technic cars look so cool, but they're so expensive.
They're so expensive, but they are great. My son has a couple. Like he has like a truck and like another car. And like there's like the engine actually does things. Like the pistons on the engine actually go. It's like
sweet.
Like the steering wheel actually turns the wheels. Like you build the right opinion steering and it's so cool. It's so well done. So
yeah. Oh, adult nerd hobbies are so expensive, but they're fun. Mm. They're fun. Anyways, but I'm back and yeah, I'm now trying to cram all my like chores into the next couple of days, but I'm happy to be back. It's great to see everybody. So anyways, yeah, that's me. Hydra, how was your week? What have you been up to?
Oh, I've been doing all of the boring work dad things that I do, but since we got a new expansion, I got to open some packs, and Blister Guy, when he was on, sort of gave a rundown of like his legendaries, right? Like not exactly which ones, but how many packs it took.
Oh, nice.
He would open. So I decided to
a high score, but in the bad way.
Yeah, high score in the bad way. He was all like, so if 20 is the average, he was all like in the 20 to 40 section. So I decided I was going to record mine to compare it to his and see how that went. I did way better than him. Obviously, this is not a skill competition.
I mean, pack opening is definitely skill related. That's
well, for sure. It's the star pattern. It's been years. I do the star pattern.
I think there's something to do with what card back you equipped as well, but
yeah, I used to use Power Core, the Power Core card back, because you could only get that from HCT events, but then they made it so anybody could buy it with gold, so I stopped using the Power Core card back once they did that. I just had it on locked into random, so it didn't matter this time. But so since you get a legendary in your first 10, I got one on 3, okay? Mm-hmm. Then I got one on 10, which was pretty cool. Whoa. And then it's 10 packs later, right? So 3 packs in, and then another 10 packs, I got another legendary. Then 16 packs later, another legendary.
Another one.
15 packs later, a legendary.
Another one.
13 packs later, a legendary.
Another one.
I'm sorry.
19. 19 packs, a legendary. Then six packs.
Six. That wasn't me.
That was Dame Hazelbark.
Six packs. Then two packs later, another legendary.
Wow.
Wow.
Good Lord.
It was ridiculous. Then I think the game started to figure me out. 27 packs later. Right. So
how terrible.
So over average. then back under down to 18 packs in. Then 21. And then now I am sitting at 30 packs open, no legendary. So, which, boo-hoo, that's like the biggest gap so far. It was ridiculous. Extremely under average, like, the whole time. So I apologize if anybody's upset by that, but I needed to brag because it was pretty good. So that was 180 packs, and that's how that worked out.
Wow. That's
incredible.
Yeah.
So it was mega bundle and gold.
That's incredible.
For that amount. So I was pretty happy. I was pretty happy. We're going to talk more about decks later, so we'll get into it, about which ones I like. But I will say one small thing is, hell yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm definitely enjoying that card. So Nate talked a little bit about vacation. I'm going to be going on vacation. So at the end of August, I'm going to probably miss a show or two at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. But I was like, man, I'm really like wanting to play this new expansion. Like, these new legendaries look really awesome. And I have like the worst phone in the world that doesn't actually work for Hearthstone, right? It's like the budget Samsung series. It's like the A12 or whatever. And it will not run the game. Like, you can open it and hope it'll connect. And then it either does or it doesn't. And then if you try to open like the collection screen or whatever, it just dies. Like, it just crashes or freezes up altogether.
So you open it, you just hear Hearthstone brew.
Yeah, we're gonna have a titanic time, mate.
And then it just closes.
Yeah.
What was that?
That's Blister Guy.
Oh my god.
I clipped it from one of his episodes. I wanted to surprise him with that drop.
It was great.
I thought it was Dane. It sounded like, I love the accent. Oh my gosh. I need that. We got to add that to the show.
I was actually like cleaning my backyard. I was in the shed and I was like crushing up boxes and putting them in the recycle bin and stuff. And I heard that and I was like, hold on. I like screenshotted, like, I was listening on Spotify, screenshotted the timestamp of where it was. I'm like, I am going to go in the house later and I'm going to clip that. Like,
oh,
I,
my gosh.
That sound bite.
Wait, can you play it again?
Yeah, we're going to have a titanic time, mate.
Just put that in the client.
That's awesome. So great. That's so great.
It deserves to be there.
Yeah, he did it because in that particular episode, I think it was, he accidentally had the volume off when he opened the game, and he always likes to hear the intro. So he had to improvise.
I love whenever he accidentally has the volume down, because him doing Hearthstone brew is even better than Hearthstone brew, which is a high compliment.
Hey,
it's a compliment to Blister Guy, not a knock on you, Hearth.
Oh, that's okay. Really funny.
Well, I was going somewhere with that. I can't remember. I suppose copying his idea about the packs, but I can't remember. Oh yeah, so I'm going on vacation, right? And I got this horrible phone. It doesn't play the game. I've been like stoked for all these new cards and everything, and so I was like, you know what, I guess I'll buy a new phone, like, specifically because this expansion looks so good.
Oh, that, you bought a, like, new phone for Hearthstone. I love it.
Yeah, and you know what, it's so funny because like it's actually increased the amount of time I play the game now, because like quite often my wife and I will go to bed early and we watch TV or whatever, like put on a show where we're honestly, we're we're marathoning Home Improvement right now. Right? and it's just play some Hearthstone. We'll play it on my phone, and I forgot how fun it is just to be able to play on your phone. I'm like, this is so convenient, which is hilarious because I used to only play on mobile. Like back in the day, that's all I played on. And then I bought a tablet so I could play on a tablet. And then eventually I realized you could play the game on a computer. And I'm like, well, this is way better. And like, I don't know, I transitioned to computer like 5-6 years ago and haven't played it on the phone since. And yeah, playing it on the phone's pretty fun. So
yeah, buddy.
I'll be trying to still, you know, ladder up and goof around and play on the phone and not be supporting myself on the crutch of deck tracker. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, what? I can't see you. I can't see my deck. But in the past, I never could see my deck, so that's all good. But that's basically been my week. I think last week I said that I was going to be starting the Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption. I am like 10 pages from finishing it, so I don't have like a complete update on that. But
that's the only one where I thought that the movie was better than the book, and I never say that ever.
A classic.
The casting was so good. Was it Tim Robbins, right? And Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
Like, the book was fine. It just, the movie was stellar. Like, I don't
know. Oh, yeah. So far from my memories of the movie, like, they're identical in memories. I'm going to rewatch the movie when I'm done. This is a true case of like sticking to the source material like pretty closely as far as I can remember. But yeah, I actually brought the book with me to work today because I was like determined to finish it before it came on the show, but it turned out to be way too busy of a day. So didn't get to happen, unfortunately.
Get busy living or get busy dying.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's been my week. Sheep, how you been?
I have been fantastic. So I've been finishing up my grad class. I'm winding down the final project. So like the end is nigh. It's due on Sunday, and
the end is coming.
Like, yeah, it sounds ominous because like I'm just ready to be done with this class. Like it's not at all my favorite. But on a positive note, I've been watching a lot of Lego Masters.
That show is so fun.
So good. I don't know how I missed it whenever it was on before. I was like, the commercials came on like whenever it was very first starting to come out. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch that. And then I just hadn't. And so like now I can just binge it. It's great. one of the people two of the people who I used to watch on Twitch doing like Lego stuff. One was on season one, Flynn. And one was on season three, which I haven't gotten to yet, which was Nick. So it's just kind of cool. Like, oh, hey, these people who I like used to watch, like they were on the show. So it feels pretty, pretty cool to have that like Lego connection.
Wow. I just looked this up on IMDb. I've never heard of this.
Oh, yeah. It's a great show. It's really good. And it's
Arnett is the host.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was, of course, the voice of Lego Batman. So, like, yeah. it's perfect. And he's hilarious.
He really honestly is. Like, it's easy sometimes to be, like, the annoying host. But he's actually really pretty funny. And I really like it. Yeah.
I mean, he is the best representation of an on-screen Batman we've had.
Since Christian Bale, at least.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Nolan movies.
That's fair.
You know.
While I disagree, I respect it.
Yeah, like the 1989 Batman's the perfect movie. So
I love that movie. And I love Jack Nicholson, so I'm kind of biased.
Have you ever danced with the devil under the pale moonlight?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Chad has it correct. Kevin Conroy is the perfect Batman.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, the voice anyways, yeah.
Yeah. Cracking Packs was awesome. So aside from like the... bundles, like I haven't spent any other monies on like any golden packs, but I've spent all of my gold just on golden packs, and I am two signature legendaries away from having all of them so far.
Oh gosh.
So as soon as I get 400 gold, I spend it immediately. And then I get 400 more gold, and then I spend it immediately. So eventually I'll get, I'm lacking Memoron and Tyr. So like two of the ones I really, really want too. Like, so I'm going to get there. And, you know, whenever I don't get those signature legendaries, I get golden cards, which are also great. Whale noises. Woo.
The signature ones look really, really stinking cool this time around.
They're really like, good. Like, yeah, like Sif and the priest one are like incredible.
Rodan, yeah.
Rodan is absolutely incredible. Like, and Sif is just like, she looks like she's praying to the Church of Freeze Mage, and I'm just in love with it.
So good. Blister guy last week was like, I wish that they would do like a whole signature set of that kind of stained glass, and I completely agree.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
aesthetic is just so good. Memoron's my other like favorite, and that's one of the two that I'm still, you know, yet to crack. Of course, I also don't have the non legendaries because you get those from. In the client, it says a couple are from events and a couple are from the rewards track. So I'll eventually get those, but haven't gotten those yet. I've been playing, of course, as is tradition, when a new set comes out, been playing a lot of standard because standard changes the most. But in our format, I've been playing a lot of Even Warrior. So I can't wait to talk about that when we talk about decks.
Yeah.
But until that point, Matt, how's your week gone, my buddy? If I can say words.
Words are hard. That's why, you know, we've been all right. House set for my ex for this week, and there's a big construction project in front of her house, which was fun. They're just redoing the road, and it's a pain. Anyway.
traffic hell. Yeah.
Traffic's not fun. I've worked a bunch this week just trying to get like small projects that I've been just trying to get out. They got out this week, which is good. I got to be productive. Had a really good job. Did a really good job opening packs this weekend. I did the pre-release. Well, you know, I did the pre-release. Had 149 packs. I opened 15 legendaries, including a signature and two goldens.
Nice.
So I did.
Yowza.
Yeah, so that worked out pretty well. And then I had a bunch of packs on release. I bought, instead of spending my gold on actual packs, I bought them on send it on golden packs because I am kind of chasing signatures a little bit. And I got three of them total. I got Odin, I think I got Tyr, and I got open lock in a regular pack, which is great.
Nice. I got Tyr also.
Also, by the way, if you look at the art for Locken, the signature is so much better than the actual card art. The card art for Locken is actively bad. I'm sorry. it's pretty bad.
I didn't even remember what it looked like.
Exactly.
I always look at that, and it's so good. The signature
one's just so much better. Other than that, I've been playing a bunch of standard, mainly just Warlock and Mage and a few other things. Started dabbling into Wild once I figured I was on the show this week, so I figured I'd jump into the format again. I haven't played a lot of Wild recently, mainly just because the format hasn't really interested me, and then also Twist happened, and Twist is...
Fair enough.
Twist is going to be my format when everyone's live. Because it's... But I have a pretty full collection, and like the fact that I can just use whatever I have is great.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many cards that I cannot play in Wild because they're actually bad, in the format. So, but like all said and done, I'm missing a total of like maybe four cards, two legendaries I'm missing, which will show up on the reward track at some point.
Yeah, you get two of them, like level 20 and level 50.
Yeah. And then like two epics, which will eventually probably reroll into from the rewards track golden epics that we get. Right,
well, you're right. The Loken regular art is not very.
No,
I mean, when you like, compare it, the two, artist, especially? I'm sure is fine. It's just comparing them, it's like wow.
Yeah, you just look at the two cards together because you know you can. And it's just like really. I don't know. Anyway, so but yeah, I did pretty well, and I've been playing a bunch of a bunch of stuff and coming up with weird ideas for like friendly games, which we'll see what happens with that.
Dark Iron Chef. Yes.
Well, bring back the Dark Iron Chef. Yes.
Fun. Well, I think it's about that time. Sorry, Blue Train.
Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
Well, everybody already knows because we were just talking about it, but Titans is live. And if you didn't get everything, like some of us, we didn't get quite everything. They've actually given, they know how this works. They've given some bundles in the store. And if you want to fill out that collection, you can for a pretty reasonable price. I actually did buy one of these because all I bought was the Mega Bundle. So you can get the Titans bundles. So there's two levels of the regular Titans bundle. The first rank is 2 Titan legendaries, 10 Titans packs, and 10 standard packs. And that was for $24.99 Canadian. And I'm imagining in USD 20. It was 20. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'd already purchased that one. And then I saw in my store that there's a second level. And so this is 2 Titan legendaries, 25 Titans packs, 25 standard packs, and that one is $49.99 Canadian. Figured that is about $40 USD is my
You can brain tell thinking. By looking at the runestones.
Oh, mm-hmm. So you can tell by looking at the runestones.
It's interesting these rank ones, like these specifically these two bundles. Like it's almost cheaper and better if you don't care about premium cards or like cosmetics at all. Like it's almost better to do this than actually, and if you have a decent like standard collection, like you have a full standard collection from the previous year, it's almost better to do this than to pre-order, because actually I think it's cheaper and you get more packs and are, you know, you just don't get the golden and stuff. It's
guaranteed mm-hmm. legendaries. Like if you buy both of these in the US, you're going to pay $60. You're guaranteed the 4 legendaries plus a fifth, because you're going to open one in your first 10 packs, mm-hmm. right? So in this, for this $60, you are getting 5 legendaries no matter what. And then you have 35 packs to open for Titans. You're most likely going to get a legendary in those 35 packs. And even if you don't, the rewards track is going to give you 5 packs to open up anyway, like mm-hmm. right off the bat. So you're going to get 6 legendaries out of this, like straight off. Like it's a really good deal. That's a very good point. And for me, it was perfect because I'm like you, Matt, I was missing a couple legendaries and I only bought the one bundle. So this popped up in the store. I'm like, $25, 2 legendaries, 20 packs. Hell yeah.
No, that's a later bundle.
Yeah. We'll get to that soon. So there also is the golden, and this is for the true whales, the golden Titans bundle. I'm guessing Sheep already purchased this. Yeah. And possibly Matt.
Nope, I didn't pick this one up yet.
So this one is $50 Canadian or 40 American. And this one gets you 1 golden legendary and 12 golden Titans packs. So $50. It's okay. You're going to get a golden legendary in those 12 packs, right? Because that's a separate pity timer, correct?
That has the first 10. The golden packs also have the first 10 pity timer. So
This is 2 golden legendaries, guaranteed.
Yeah. And a good chance to probably roll a signature as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You guys in this signature chasing thing almost got me on this expansion. It almost got me because Blister Guy is always talking about the spending is 400 gold on the golden packs. And I could see it right there on my screen. I'm like, why not just click that one? I have lots of gold, but I'm like, you know what? I'm trying to spend less money on the game. I'm going on vacation, right? Like let's not, like I could spend money on golden cards. Or I could like go ziplining or something when I'm on vacation. So I'm going to do the ziplining.
So I'm going to get golden cards, like, because
I'll get those when I get back Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll still be a bundle when I get back. But yeah, it's tempting for me to click the 400 gold button when I'm clicking the 100 gold button for now. I would like to get all the cards, and that's good enough for me. But you got to know I'm going to be upgrading the ones for my favorite decks anyways, because that's just what I do. I'm so glad that they have the upgrade option.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Sheep mentioned the Hell Yeah bundle. So this one is this one is interesting because this is $50 American, $62.50 Canadian, and you get a golden Hell Yeah, not golden diamond.
Yeah,
Hell Yeah, my bet. And it's pretty cool. I do like the movement and for the art on this one. I think it's pretty sweet. It's very tempting for me because this is my most played legendary so far in the new set. So I'm like, every time I play my plain one, I'm like, this could be so much cooler.
$50.
Yeah, this is the Kraken bait bundle, right? Like literally, like for Krakens and like people that like spend all the money, this is for them. Because like, you don't even get to, like, you don't. Like, here's the weird thing with this one: you get the diamond Helia, you get a signature from Titans, but then you also get a signature. But instead of a second signature from Titans, you get a signature from Festival of Legends.
This is the one that I saw people like, I wish I would have read it first type of deal. Because if they were both from Titans, it's like, oh, okay. But it's that last one that says, oh, it's from Festival of Legends. Like, oh, we're done with that one. We already played that one. We want the new one, right? Mm-hmm. And it's cool, but I've seen some buyer's remorse. Because it's like you think you're going to open something that from the new set and it's from the old one. So
there should be more of a visual identifier that really pops. I mean, we should probably read the things we buy, and we know Hydra screws that up all the time.
there is a text box in there for a reason, you know.
I will say, despite that, I was still very surprised whenever I had a signature Inza from this. I was like, wait a second.
Still a good signature, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's just my second signature Inza.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, there's been some complaints with that. But, I mean, read what you're buying, I suppose. The only other thing that we had in the news is we do have the Uldor Grand Championship event. So it's another event. If you want free packs, all you have to do is play the game. My first two quests... One of them was play three games. The other one was play two games. I don't know if everyone got the same ones, but that was very easy to complete.
I got the forge five cards, and that was actually more difficult than I thought it would be.
That would be. I haven't forged any cards yet, so.
The animation is really, really rewarding.
My opponents have forged cards, and it looks pretty cool, but I have not. But so this gets you what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 packs, one of them being a golden pack.
Mm-hmm. Golden standard pack. Of course, a scarlet portrait. So a Death Knight portrait. Scarlet something. But it's a really cool looking Death Knight portrait. It's like it's the same character as the first like Tavern Brawl, or not Tavern Brawl, Heroic Brawliseum one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's just a different portrait than that one.
I'm excited for more Death Knight portraits because they don't have very many yet. And the rotation, I mean, these are spoiled. This is like being spoiled at this point because there's so many skins, but like the rotation's kind of boring to me.
Like, oh, like that base Arthas skin is really just boring. Like, it's just like not, it's not, it's like I immediately got off that one. I think I have the one from the Brawl. I think I have the other one from the Heroic Brawl. And like two other ones that I picked up along the way, but like, yeah, like the Death Knight. None of the Death Knight portraits are speaking to me other than this.
I like the Blues the Legends tie one with the microphone because it looks pretty cool. And,
yeah, I mean, but it looks just like the original one to me. I don't know, it just looks the same. I don't know.
I love when there's not a special event and I'm playing as the red side because whenever you do the hello, he just goes, "Hey," the shortest hello possible.
Hey. That's great.
Which one does that?
The 12 when Heroic Coliseum one. Yeah.
Well, I'll never know. Didn't do it. But that's basically all we had for the news. So let's get into some discussion time and talk about some decks.
Yeah, buddy. And we'll start over with Matt, your decks. Take it away, buddy.
Sure. So I got a couple really bad ideas and some decks I've actually been playing. First deck is, I just call it Just Stuff Warlock because it's a wild Reno Lock deck that quite honestly is just stuff I wanted to try out and play and kind of do it in a Reno Lock fashion. And it's like a 40 card Reno Lock, which is a bad idea to begin with. but you know, I have Ignis in here. I have a couple Forge cards and I just wanted to play some of the cards and see what happens. And Wild was a good place to do that, especially at the 5x multiplier I'm at, which is, you know, it's fine.
You're playing in the Wild West down there.
I'm playing in the fun part of Wild. Yes. But you know, I've done okay with this. It's not great. The other deck I have is an idea I had when the set was announced, where we have now had 30 sets released into Hearthstone. Now you can actually make a deck that's one card, including one card in every set
from every set. I love it. I love it.
So, and honestly, like I built this in this evening. While we were doing show prep, and the hardest one for me, especially when I'm picking Warlock, was Rosticon's Rumble. There was literally zero cards from that expansion that I wanted to put in my deck.
Oh no,
Hyreek, give me wings.
I could have done that, and I could have just ended the challenge. But like I was like, let me find a good card, like maybe like Potion Master. Maybe like the Zihi, like, you know, put everybody back to five. But like, no, I have a lot of expensive cards in here, so I don't want to do that. So, you know, the thing I figured it out. It took me like a couple ways to go back was Rabble Bouncer. Now, if anybody can remember what that card text actually says, I'd be impressed.
I think probably just Hat. Hat's probably the only one who remembers. Yeah.
The name.
Yes. 7 mana, 2/7 cost 1/+ for each enemy minion on the board. It's a taunt. Yeah, it's a bad card. Different, like, you know, maybe I can go back to GVG, take out the GVG card, which is Mal'Ganis, and put in Recombulator, but Mal'Ganis seems better than that.
So a lot better.
Yeah, and like the other one was like, there's some cards in Whispers that I was looking at that like none of them were like could fit the theme of the deck, so I just threw in a Yogg
because Yogg.
Yeah.
You don't need another reason.
Yeah. In Standard, I've been playing a lot of what they're calling J-Lock right now, which is basically just like a control Warlock that kind of relies on Loken to cheat out a 15-15 and or Sargeras.
That's a big boy.
Yeah, a bunch of stats.
To me.
And then Forge of Wills it and, you know, make big things on turn 3 and 4. You know, things I like to do. It's pretty good. The other one I have, the regular J-Lock, is better because you taking Fanatotem out of your deck makes Symphony of Sins a lot better because, you know, it does not break one of your options because, you know, if you draw your highest card and the highest card in your deck is Fanatotem, you just feel bad. So this is more of a, like I said, it's control Warlock. It's fun. And Sargeras is a heck of a card. Mana, like you don't, it's like, I was worried, like, we can't really cheat him out. But, yeah, you can because you have Symphony of Sins. And you can also, just play it on turn 9 and feel good about yourself, too. Because it's a Twisting Nether that makes puts 12, 14 worth of stats on the board. It's pretty good.
I was playing against somebody who played that card, Sargeras. And then they also was playing on my phone. I haven't played on a phone in a really long time. And they also had the Anatheron on the board.
Anatheron, too. Yeah.
And I had a power word. Like I had something that I could kill it. I don't know which card I had, but it was a single target removal card to kill one big boy. And my finger slipped and I killed the Anatheron instead of the Sargeras. And my opponent's like, wow.
Wow, that's incredible.
Oh my gosh. And I was like, do I concede or do I own it. And so I actually stayed in the game.
I meant to do that.
to see. I played a couple more turns and I quit after that. But I was like, darn.
My stakes were braised.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little more careful on the phone.
Yeah, but yeah, and the other deck I have in here is Spell School Mage. Spell School Mage is another standard deck, and I think it actually might have some legs in the wild format. You can actually probably build this deck in like a make a wild version of this deck, because Sif is a heck of a card. She's, you know, very routinely 7 spell damage for 6 mana, which is it seems really good to me. I don't know. I don't know. I know Hearthstone pretty well, and I've been playing the game a lot. I'm not that great at the game, you know. I'm very much a fun first, win second type player, but like that deck, like that Sif, like if you can find Sif in your deck, because sometimes she just sits at the bottom.
She sifs at the bottom.
she sifs at the bottom of the deck. Yes. You know, this card, you know, she's great, and I'm quite very much enjoying that deck. So
that's the one signature legendary I actually got. So. Hopefully, it's good.
No, yeah, like that's I think that's the most sought after signature legendary. Like, cool. I think if there was card trading in the game, that would actually be the most expensive card. That and probably Raden. I don't know. Raden's not even that good. He's okay, but Sif is a real deal. So
Memoran's probably the other.
Yeah, Memoran's probably the other one. Yeah,
because it's good and looks kicking rad.
I mean, like, actually, there was a game where I discovered a Firelands Portal. I played the Firelands Portal, and a Tail and Fordring came out. So it like literally drew myself Sif for me. It was that worked out really well for me. So yeah, I enjoyed that very much.
Oh yeah, well, we have our very own Decretary, who Shmoopy Daddy, who's put together a few new decks for us to spotlight as well. The first one is a Pogo Priest. So Shmoopy's notes say that it makes use of the new Astral Automaton, which of course gains +1/+1 for every other automaton summoned that game. You spam them and make big ol' robots. Love it. Fun interaction. Confuse and Topsy-Turvy reset the base stats for any minions on the board, functionally doubling the stat bonus for the automatons, which makes for a big burst damage. The deck seems to fold to hyper aggro, but can win games. And this list is featured from Corbett and Gitmeowth. May not be up to date, but looks really cool. Moving on to Frog Shaman.
Oh, we knew this was coming, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, old combo archetype, but with new tools and Flash of Lightning, Crash of Thunder, Lightning Reflexes, and, of course, the new legendary Thorim Stormlord. So Thorim have transformed the deck, how the deck is played. Flash of Lightning makes all of your nature spells cost 1 less. So before the combo, you do that thing. And then Crash of Thunder hits all enemies, frequently costing 0. So it gets discounted by 1 for every nature spell you play that turn. And dealing more than the 3 damage printed, of course, due to the spell damage. Highly unrefined archetype. People can't decide if this deck wants 1 bioluminescence, 2 of those, if they want the giants, if they want the quest or no quest. So it's... the refinement is still actively ongoing, but the deck has a really high ceiling to be oppressive with turn 3 lethals possible.
This list turn 3. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This list from a Twitter post, which can be found in the Born to be Wild Discord. Plug, plug, plug. Now we're getting to some of my favorites. So we're kind of lumping two of them together here. One is Caverns Rogue and one is Mech Rogue. Both are pretty mech-centric. So notes on both. At first, Caverns Rogue seemed like an ideal home for new mech tools. Sparkbots, doesn't matter which one they are, they're all called Sparkbot, so they all count towards the quest, regardless of their keywords.
That's smart.
They do.
That's incredible.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, the new draw tool gear shift means that the deck can cycle more efficiently than ever. But, of course, Caverns Rogue is still Caverns Rogue. It still loses to aggro decks. So players have kind of shifted to pure mech rogue. So the deck boasts the ability to make large stealth minions that copy themselves after the turn ends, all while drawing like a rogue deck draws. Less popular right now because, like, the Caverns below is super fun. But this more kind of pure aggro mech version seems to have more promise. So the Caverns list is from Gitmeowth, and the mech rogue list is from EPT Hopper.
I lost to the Caverns, the mech Caverns version, to Stazari, our friend Stazari.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, hey, Staz.
We were playing on ladder, and I'm like, all right. This, and I was playing on my phone. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah. One of us.
And I'm like, oh, cool. It's rogue, right? So I'm like, he's probably jamming some pirate rogue or King's Bane, right? Like, it's just what's in my head because this is day one. And I'm like, probably racing, you know, like trying to get up high, like aggro on the ladder, something like that. And then I'm like, Caverns, oh no, what's happening here? And then it's like, here's this mech that puts a mech in your hand that has an ability. And then it happened again. I'm like, oh no, Staz has two of those. It says it's the same type of mech with a different ability. Is that going to work? Yeah, it worked. It worked. And then bouncing them back and they're one, because they only cost one mana, right? And bouncing them back, like the quest was over before I even felt like I was done the mulligan. Like, it was so quick. I got rolled. The quest was done on like turn three. And he had to wait to play the quest reward.
Wow. Well, that's the thing. This deck is the deck list for this is a thing of beauty. Like, there's some part of me that, like, inherently in the back of my brain that loves deck lists that, like, the highest cost card is 1-3 drop. Like, they're just like, I just want to play that because, like, that looks like I'm actually sleeving that up right now because this looks incredible and I might actually play this.
And a note in chat as well, magnetizing those spark bots counts towards the quest as well.
It still does.
So don't feel like you have to play them non-magnetized.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. And then so they become... I swear one became a 10-10. Become a 10-10 or do they stay 5-5s? I think it became a 10-10. I'd have to go back and check the replay. I don't remember how it worked. But it was gross. It was really, really gross, and I died really, really fast. So.
Yeah, in this mech rogue deck, the standard mech or the traditional mech rogue, let's put it that way, it's not too far off the standard list. Like, you're running like Skaterbot, Galvanizer, Mech Warper, but other than that, it's pretty much the standard list. From what I can see.
I can't check the replay because it was on my phone. Okay, now I'm against the phone. I'm going back and forth.
Also, I want to point out the fact that Lab Constructor is a heck of a card.
Yeah, it's actually really good.
Yeah, like, it's like, if you can get it, like, even you don't even have to forge it to have it like go to have it be magnetic. You can just build off, like, play that on four and build off that and have just a snowball-y minion that never goes away. It's a great little card. It's probably not going to cost four for a long. I don't think.
Oh yeah, no, that'll get hit.
Yeah, that'll probably give it cost four for the next week and a half. Let's put it that way.
And then we can play Odd.
Odd Mech Rogue. There we go. But we can't play Spark Bots.
True.
Yeah,
I take it back.
I mean, we can play it back. Yeah, like a good. Find other ways to put spark bots in our deck, but yes.
Yeah. General meta notes that Shmoopy provides is the good decks have mostly stayed good. Some like Mech Paladin and even Shaman got clear upgrades. The decks shared here are new things to Wild provided by the new cards or kind of revitalized archetypes like Frog Shaman. So I, however, have been playing Even Warrior, and this deck is not competitive, but is definitely tier fun. I have been having a blast. I was at one point providing updates to, in our like host chat, and it was just like, okay, well, I haven't drawn Odin yet, but I'm sitting at over 100 net health, so I'm not too worried.
Yeah.
I ended up popping my opponent's ice block. They were a thief rogue. I popped their block at 2 after, you know, playing Odin. So all I really had to do was hero power, which only cost 1 because of course this runs Gen Greymane. And that's when they finally conceded. But like, this deck is so much fun. If you can either like only hit aggro where you're, you know, actually able to control the board with board control tools like Bash, Guard the City, of course, the Shield Shatter, and Frozen Buckler, Weapons Project, when after post-Odin is a 2-mana, pop your opponents, in this case it was Spectral Cutlass, but like King's Bane or Fish or insert other really powerful weapon here. And they have a 2-attack weapon. Guess what you have? You have a 2-attack weapon, but you have 2-mana, 8 damage right there. It's awesome. So this has been a blast. I don't have a positive win rate with it, but I don't care because I'm having so much fun.
You know what? That's what it's about.
You're pretty close to having it in all gold. Just saying.
I am, but there are some legendaries and epics.
Yeah, he have to upgrade his Kargath Blade Fist, and nobody needs to do that.
I packed a golden one a long time ago.
The Blade Fist needs no master. So, Hydro, what have you been playing, bud?
So, like I told you guys, I liked Hell Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I played it in standard at first because, I mean, that's where you play all the new cards. And it's actually pretty decent. Like, I've got a positive win rate with it. It's fun. I love shuffling in all the plagues. To me, it's just a quote-unquote new archetype. I mean, it's shuffling things into your opponent's deck that's going to kill them. It's like bombs, right? Or like bloods. Or whatever. Like, it's happened before, but I need Death Knight wins more than anybody here needs Death Knight wins. Like badly. Like, so badly that I actually got the achievement for getting 25 yesterday. Yes, I've not played the class. At least I maybe have a total of like 70 if you count the other accounts, like the other servers. Like it's, I just haven't played it, right? At least I haven't won, apparently. I was like, let's play some DK. And I found this list here is from some random person on Reddit, and I liked it. So, you know, I thought I'd give it a go. So this is the wild version. It's the even unholy plague Death Knight. And so,
yeah,
well, I don't have an amazing win rate with this because you're missing a few things, right? Like, you can't run the weapon, which is a major creator of the plagues. Like, you get 3 plagues per weapon, so you get 6 plagues in total off the 2 weapons, right? And that's a big loss, but that's why I have the ECT. You can run one of them inside it, so while you're not popping that out on turn one, it's not the biggest deal because getting more plagues in their deck after dropping the Hell Yeah is more better sometimes because that's when they keep shuffling back in, right? Because the Hell Yeah makes them shuffle constantly. Like, one goes off, it goes back into the deck, right? And that's when they really become effective. So it's not the worst thing in the world to play the 1-mana weapon later in the game. Mm-hmm. You also can have like Lothab in there, just a classic wild card that's always going to be good, right? So it's an odd card, so it works out great in the list. And it runs the Primus as well, right? And the Primus is pretty cool.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely enjoying it. And I did get that one in gold, so I'm super stoked about that. But I'm going to keep playing this just because I want the Death Knight wins. I barely played the class. I think I played some Unholy Death Knight like right at the very beginning. I did play Blood DK in Standard a little bit, but yeah, I know Sheep.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
But the games were so long, right? Especially like a mirror match was like unbearable. And I think this is my time to actually finally play the class because I just didn't do it. And plus everyone and their mother and their uncle and their father's uncle was playing DK. Like you tried to play Standard when it first came out. Like there was so much like Death Knight going on that I saw enough of it by just playing the mode, right? Like I didn't even need to play the class itself, like myself. So yeah, gonna be jamming this a little more. I don't know how much more refined it can get. There's some neutral cards in here, like Astalor's being run. There's like the Cult Neophyte just to, you know, mess with people and whatnot. Maybe they'll give some more support for the plagues in the future. I don't know. They already gave a lot. There was a lot for the plagues. But yeah, it's cool. I like it. And I'll jam it a little bit more. It's not winning like crazy, especially since like I'm right now on ladder. It's about 50% like people are tryharding and just playing the good decks that already exist. And the other 50% are trying the super wacky stuff. So like you don't even know what you're going to run into. So
yeah,
like say this was guaranteed to beat a certain class that's like one of the, like say the top three or whatever on the ladder, you could be guaranteeing you're going to be winning against them. But at this point, it's the Wild West. People are trying all those like crazy sort of stuff. So not having too much success, but having a lot of fun.
This is what I think right here.
I like your day. I think I will take it.
Oh, I will say, I think I put this in our Discord. What made me start playing this deck originally, because I didn't give Helia the credit that Helia like was due. And then I was playing as a paladin.
I have to go back and edit this and like every time you say that to put Dr. Dre in.
What I didn't realize, so I didn't have the quest. There's a quest or an achievement in Paladin to take damage from your own cards, right? And because there's a bunch of like the 2/1 bubble card that damages you or whatever. Like there's a bunch of those that damage you. And I suppose that's how you were supposed to complete it. I never completed it that way. I completed it versing these Death Knight Plague decks because when they shuffle the plagues into your deck, they become your card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the plagues were doing the damage to me, which gave me the achievement. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I faced this deck. I faced a version of this deck today. It was like turn 7. I had like a bunch of cards in my hand that like I could play until I drew 5 Frost Plagues in a row.
Oh.
Ouch.
And Frost Plague is the one that makes your stuff in your hand cost 1 more. And
I took
10 damage and then couldn't play anything in my hand. So that one, that turn went well for me.
Well, and so the Frost Plague is only your next card.
Right.
But if you can't play any of the cards in your hand, then it doesn't help.
Yeah, you can't do anything. Yeah, so I just ended the turn, and then I was like, "What am I? I'm not. If I'm just going to take this turn off, I'm just going to concede the game." And that's basically what I did. Yeah, I like this version of the list. I've played the standard list, and the standard list is not. It's not refined. This one looks like it's actually seems like okay. We're going in a direction. Just seeing like, you know, but I do like the trick of putting the Staff of the Primus in the ETC. That's pretty cute. Cause that card is actually fantastic. Is really, really good. It's really good to get those curses into the deck. So.
And just because, we've got Okani in there cause it's an even card. So why not?
Yeah. Right?
Oh yeah. Great disruption tool.
Cool.
All right.
Well, so, I'm excited to see this stuff get refined, right? Because it's still kind of early, and so we'll see. But I'm excited to see new lists, right? Because we always know that the good decks are going to be good, and maybe they add, you know, 1 or 2 new cards. But it's fun to see new stuff, so I like that.
Yeah, this meta is the early period we're in. I'm not going to call it a meta because it's not a meta, right? Mm-hmm. has been a lot of fun. I've been enjoying playing Hearthstone a bunch, and I've been playing it a bunch this week. And yeah, this set is super cool. A lot of cool stuff in it. So.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, buddy.
That's great.
Sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, it's all good. I can't help it. Well, I really am excited that you could come on the show tonight, Matt at Arms. You've been a glorious guest, and
well, thank you.
It's very much appreciated. Before we get into like the thing that I always do at the end, I want to ask about your arcade machine in the background.
Oh yeah, it's a if I can move my head. It is a NFL Blitz So it has NFL Blitz 2000 and I think Blitz 2001 on it.
Oh my god.
And I play with my kid a bunch, and it was like I was in Costco one day and I saw it and I didn't even look at the price tag, cuz if I did I would have not picked it up. And I don't care, cuz
that's amazing.
Yeah, I was like, that was his Christmas gift this year, and it's in my apartment and I love it. I just go up, like I take a break, 15-20 minute break from work, go play a game of Blitz, heads clear, come back, sit down and have a good time, you know. And
I love that game. It's so fun. I remember playing that on, like, it was either N64 or Dreamcast, one of the two, probably both, back in the day. And it's just so, like, over the top tackling everyone. And there's like, can you catch on fire or something? Like, I can't remember. Like,
yeah, you can catch on fire. In this version, they did remove the late hits, unfortunately.
So oh yeah, because afterwards, yeah, when the play's over, everyone's just tackling each other.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
that's awesome. Nate, cue the button.
And now, unrelated advice. With Nate Wolf.
Matt at Arms.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I've noticed from listening to Squelch and from being on the Twitter or X app that you kind of like some Star Trek.
Right? I do.
You've mentioned that a few times. So what I want to know, in order, off the top of your head right now on the spot.
Okay.
Top five captains.
Oh, geez.
Okay. He's got it.
I got it. Okay. Cisco.
That's your number one?
Cisco's my number one. I would work for Cisco in a heartbeat.
Yeah. All right.
Pike.
Okay.
Like current, like Strange New Worlds Pike is like the boss I've always wanted.
Not like wheelchair one, like one,
like, beat, you know, two, yeah, yeah, Pike. Yeah, two. I mean, you know. That he'd be an okay boss, but like he wouldn't be very active and supportive. He'd just be beeping twice at me all day. Picard, obviously. Picard's probably like, you know, Kirk. Janeway's good. Kirk is there. I like Kirk a lot, but like Janeway's ahead of Kirk in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So that's my top five.
Nice. I appreciate that. I'd like to hear the other Trekkies out there's opinions. I could swear I heard you talk about Janeway in the past and that you liked Janeway.
Janeway's great. She's written very poorly in, like, especially later seasons of Voyager. Like, I've been rewatching Voyager because I listen to a podcast that is currently doing Voyager right now. And Janeway is written very poorly and not like very 90s mindset of, like, you know, late 90s mindset of how women should be written. And that's unfortunate in a way. So
it's true. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, as I try to not bum everybody out with my
terrible Hi, Rory.
Yeah, Rory wants to say hello. Here. Hey, you hear the Rory. Rory. She's very, like, distraught now.
Hey, Rory, who's your favorite captain, Rory?
You beat me to it.
Who is your favorite cat? I got to ask you, what's your top five?
Okay. Well, funny you should ask, because my number one is also Benjamin Sisko.
Yes.
Deep Space Nine is my favorite Trek out of all of them. I can't fully answer why it really is, but I like the largeness of all of the characters on Deep Space Nine. I love Quarks. I love Bashir and O'Brien. Like they're the two buddies. I absolutely love that. I love Jadzia. I liked when Worf, spoilers, made his way over from Next Generation.
Yes, spoilers for a show that's 30 years old.
Yeah. Made his way from Next Generation over to Deep Space Nine. I hated Kai Winn because...
Yeah, you were supposed to, yes.
Yeah, well, also because... One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Nurse Ratched. Yeah. It's the same woman, right? And so
Louise Fletcher is fantastic. She's already a fantastic actress.
She's so good. She's so good. And she was so good as Nurse Ratched that as soon as I saw her face for the first time in Deep Space Nine, I'm like, I already hate you. It's your fault Billy's dead.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff in DS9. The real question is, are you an Ezri? Do you like Ezri or are you a Jadzia fan? I mean, it's Jadzia. Like, there's no.
I have to say Jadzia. Like,
oh, yeah, it's easy Jadzia, but like, are you like a fan of Ezri as Ezri, well? Or
Dax was fine, I suppose. Yeah. Like, I was. So I didn't. Honestly, no one had spoiled that for me, you know, that there was going to be the transition between the Daxes. And, my like for Jadzia sort of spoiled that for me, and I didn't want to get kind of like Kes and Seven of Nine thing happening there. At first I didn't really like Seven of Nine because Kes was gone, but she grew on me.
Well, she was like, well, there's there's honestly three good characters in Voyager, and it's the Doctor, Seven, and Janeway. That's it.
Yeah, please state the nature of your medical emergency.
Yes, the three best written characters on
that. What about when Andy Dick came on? That was pretty good.
That episode never happened. no, but like if you are listening to this and still listening to the Star Trek talk, I do have a suggestion. I have figured out my suggestion on how you watch the show from now on.
Okay,
if you're getting into Star Trek for the first time, watch Strange New Worlds. That's like modern, the best representation of Star Trek in modern TV, hands down. Like, and every episode is a banger. There is no bad episodes. Then do TNG, then do DS9. And if you get through DS9, you can do the rest. So that's where I'm at with how you watch Star Trek from the start, from like fresh Star Trek.
So. That's how you start Trek.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, you heard it here, folks. Wiser words had never been spoken, and you heard that on
Born to Be Wild.